You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any part of today's show, including our reaction to the Redskins moving on from Eric Schaefer as their contract negotiator or bumping Doug Williams, former Super Bowl MVP, out of their personnel department and into a mentoring role, you can grab that. You can grab the entire first 2 hours of the show. Our podcasts available. The radio.com app is the best way to listen to the show live and go back in time. You can use the brand new and awesome 24-hour rewind function. Download the app, select our station, and go back in time. Every day at noon, we give you our Beltway Blitz. We kick off the Blitz right now, talking Redskins football. Couple of teams, one segment, and J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington gets it started. J.P., what was your reaction to the front office shakeup yesterday? No Schaefer, and maybe more importantly from a football standpoint, Doug Williams out of that personnel department.
Yeah, Grant, to me, the Doug Williams thing was the bigger deal. We've known this Schaefer stuff was coming or had happened and was just a contractual thing, which was the case. I think Doug officially being out of personnel is a big deal. And I think it shows. I remember we talked after Ron Rivera's press conference, and there was some angst in the fan base about, you know, who has final say. And my contention then was Ron Rivera has final say. And I certainly think now Ron Rivera has final say. And that's become more obvious by the day.
Jefferson Pilot Finley, what's next on the agenda? Seems like the staff's getting filled out. If you were, you know, a friend of Ron's in Carolina, you're in. Congrats to the Carolina Panthers North. That's kind of what the NFL is. But what's their next big agenda item in your mind?
Dan Alorian, I think it's going to be, you know, draft scouting. I think they're going to go, you know, there's basically 3 weeks of intense scouting between the East-West Shrine Game, the NFLPA Bowl, and then the Senior Bowl. And I think that's where, I don't know that Ron Rivera is going to be at these places, but that's where the Skins scouts and some of these front office guys will be. And I think that's their focus. In a way, I think fans should be refreshed that it's going to be nearly exclusive about football here. And everything else that needs to happen with the organization is going to be somebody else's baby at this point. And I mean, maybe like a stadium and stuff, all that sort of stuff. But like Ron Rivera is not dealing with any of that. That's all going to, my guess is it goes to a dude like Scott Shepard or something. But those things are going away. And the operation here is focused on football.
What are your thoughts on Ron Rivera not just being the head coach but having power over the roster as kind of playing GM for the Washington Redskins?
It's interesting because of the names or the teams he invoked in his press conference when you reference Seattle, New England, Kansas City. Those are teams that do it really well. So not in his first year. I think he gets – legitimately, I think he gets 3 years no matter what, but like there needs to be a trajectory towards a consistent playoff team with real Super Bowl aspirations, and then you belong in that conversation. So coach-centric approach can absolutely work. You look at what Buffalo did, you look at what San Francisco did, in addition to the other teams we said, this thing can work, it just has to happen.
At J.P. Finley, NBCS on Twitter. Your shot called right now. Trent Williams is back with the Redskins this coming season, or they trade him?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer. My guess is traded because he wants cash and he wants a new deal. And I don't know that this team, they have the space. I don't know that this is the team to do it. We'll see.
Johan Pietro Finley, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you, boys. Sean DeBarbery says hi.
Oh, very nice. Good to talk
to
Sean.
Tell him we said hello.
By transitivity. Let's talk some hockey, please. Russell, all of a sudden, Chris Russell's with us, by the way, to talk some puck here. Russell, let's get into the Caps for a second. This group, all of a sudden, is regressing a little teeny tiny bit. This is normal. This is expected. You couldn't go on that charmed ride forever. anything out of their play recently, and this is, again, nobody's panicking about this recent stretch of play, mm-hmm. but anything out of there that you pull out and say, I'm actually a little concerned about this going forward.
Well, sure. I mean, the power play, as you guys talked about, I think yesterday it was, I don't know, all these days run together for me, has been brutal. And they've got way too much talent to be that bad. Now, do you expect them to be top five, top three? No, you don't necessarily expect that. You don't expect them to be as inefficient as they have been. And I honestly, I haven't been able, with everything going on with the Redskins, I haven't been able to zero in on exactly why they've been so bad, because it seems like they have what they would need. You know, I know Backstrom missed a stretch of games that was included in this period, but Oshie's working the high slot on the one-timers. We know Ovechkin. Teams have obviously adjusted somewhat to that. I think it all starts and comes from the point, and when Michael Kempney is going good, I think that helps out everybody in general, but I also think it helps out that second power play unit when the first power play unit comes off the board.
Slashy, Holtby not playing at the level Caps fans are accustomed to, the team yeah. wants. Ilya Samsonov has been better, but I got an issue with everyone just basically being willing now to trade or move on with Holtby as if that's the right solution. Where are you at on the goaltending?
Well, here's the thing. I've had this conversation with a couple of people around there. Nobody super important, not Brian McClellan, but, you know, the feeling is this. One guy even mentioned, maybe they should trade him at the deadline. And I was like, no, you can't do that. But I think everybody is resigned to the fact that there's going to be no Braden Holtby moving forward after this year, A, because of how good Samsonov is, B, because of the contract, and C, because of the whole Seattle expansion thing coming up. So I think we're enjoying the last days, and you want to call it enjoying? It's been up and down. Obviously, some great saves against San Jose, and not everything is his fault, but the bottom line is I think it's going to be more of a rotation here over the next couple of months, and Todd's going to ramp up Ilya Samsonov because they, in the back of their mind, they'll never admit this, they know they've got to get him ready for a 60-plus game haul next year. At least that's the way I see it, and I think most reasonable people see it that way, and maybe that's not fair or unfair to either guy, but you've also got to look out for the short and long-term future of your franchise.
Russell, I was driving around last night, heard you on the radio, really enjoyed the programming that hit my ears, buddy. Nice job.
Thank you, pal. I appreciate that.
Thank you for the time today. Have a wonderful weekend.
Slashy,
thank
how's you your hair growing back, by the way? Does it look good?
Yeah, nothing looks good on me, but I mean, the hair is growing back. Okay. Did you guys hear that I came up with a facetious term for your show?
I did not.
No. Okay, so let me quickly describe it. When a team goes in the NFL, 3 and out by passing the football inefficiently, I call that the Grant and Danny.
Oh, we'll take that.
Oh, very nice.
I mean, yes. It's not very creative. No, I'm just saying creative. They just Grant and Danny'd it.
It's
because
good.
You guys love to throw the football, and teams are inefficient doing it when they try and overdo it, so they're back on the bench in 30 seconds.
Then there won't be
they
that
leave their
many
defense
Grant
out to dry.
Danny's,
then
but
we
enjoy
can do
that.
Third and nine is the Russell. That's perfect. That's way
better. That's all right.
More is
that's
the
right.
Chris Russell.
That's okay. You guys can bust my chops. I can come back at you a little bit.
I love it. Thank you, Slasherini.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.
You're a beautiful soul. By the way, Jermond, Chris Russell bet us that the Redskins would win at least 7 games this year. When that didn't happen because they only won 3, we got to shave his head.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
that's where that question came from.
It worked really well for us.
Let me show you a picture.
Not as
here.
Good for him, but we took it right down to the scalp. It was a good time for everyone. Nice. We'll get into the Redskins front office changes that Jermond asked JP about at 1 o'clock. But next, the Texans and the Chiefs, the first of 2 Sunday games. We will make our predictions on Grant and Danny. We are getting you ready for playoff round 2, the divisional game. We're getting back into the 2 playoff games of Sunday coming up in just a few on Grant and Danny, previewing the divisional round with Jermond Bushrod, who played in the NFL for over a dozen seasons from 2017 to 2018, the Saints, the Bears, the Dolphins. You played with Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler is one of the more fascinating guys to me as a football fan.
He gets a bad rap.
He certainly does.
He certainly has a bad rap. Is he who we think he is? Just like a total goofball, kind of nonchalant, doesn't care about much? Or is that just the perception?
I think that's a lot of perception. Look, my first year there in 2013, Jay was one of the first people that texted me. as soon as we got to training camp. I just had a baby not too long ago. He gifted me with a gift. He was a good guy. Like, a lot of people attack his character. You know, sometimes his body language and stuff, it gives people the wrong idea of who he is. But people, you know, they think he doesn't work hard. But I've been in training camps with him where, you know, we don't get out of the meeting until 9:30, 10 o'clock, and he has, you know, the receivers and the running backs, you know, in the gym till like 10:45.
Wow.
You know, running, you know, just going over plays, and he definitely cared. It's just, yeah, he gets a bad rap.
You were in Miami or you weren't when they brought him in?
I was.
So you ran it back with him?
Yeah, we did. We did run it back, and
that's funny.
The one I couldn't get over. You're talking about body language. Some of the stuff I thought it was, you know, circumstance, just kind of his natural face or whatever. That's not a big deal.
His natural face.
Like sometimes people you got RBF or whatever.
Resting Cutler face.
Yeah. Yes. But one I couldn't get over. It's a playoff game. He got hurt. I'm sorry
The Caleb Haney game.
Caleb Haney could have come to him, Jay, please help me out. I need some advice. What are they doing out there? He ignored everything. I'm sorry you got hurt, dude. It's a tough break for anybody. I've never seen a less interested person in my life. He was me in like a Russian class. No idea.
I got there after that, so you know I'm not.
You know what I'm talking about? Don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. I know that was a big thing when I first
got
there.
So I'm always curious about, and this is probably a little bit awkward, but. We had Will Montgomery. I don't know if you know him at all, but he's a long time.
Yeah, I know Will. That's my guy. We was in Chicago together. Shout out to Will.
Oh, okay. That's right. You guys did play together. It's funny how it's like the degrees of Kevin Bacon.
For sure.
Everyone in the league long enough crosses paths at some point. So we had Monty in studio a bunch as one of our analysts over the last year, and I always liked getting him to tell us about the gifts he got at the end of the year from quarterbacks.
Mm.
What was the best gift Drew Brees ever gave his offensive lineman at the end of the season?
Man, Drew spoiled us.
He did it right?
My first time going to the Bahamas was because of Drew.
He sent you to the Bahamas?
Yeah. He either four coach tickets or two first-class tickets. You know I took the first-class tickets.
There you go.
My first time going to Cabo was because of Drew.
So how does that work? So then he basically just says, hey, I'm sending you guys to Cabo. Like, he has someone book it or
he gives us options. So, okay. Like, you know, he used to come in back in my first stint in New Orleans. He would come in and he would give us, you know, just a box wrapped up, you know, somebody wrapped this box
wrapped
up
it nice,
and it was just like a letter in it saying, hey, this is your Christmas gift, four coach tickets, seven nights stay, or two first class tickets, seven nights stay. He'll give you a list of places that you want to go to, and you pick where you want to go.
Oh, so it's not even the place. You get to choose where you're going.
Yeah. I'm like, I could have went to Paris and all this kind of other stuff.
This is through a travel agent, I'm sure, and it's just send me the bill at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, my last year, he had me, it was either pick between a couple trips, you can go anywhere you want, or, you know, with the new fate, with Lamar and what Derrick Henry just did was the Rolexes. I got a Panerai from him, so that's pretty exciting, too, but
I don't even know what that is.
What was that?
That's above my
Panerai watch.
Is that just a nice watch?
Yeah, he's a big watch guy. So,
okay.
I didn't know what it was either. So
did Ryan Tannehill give you guys like Slim Jims? What was your
look? Drew set the bar too high. He set the bar way too high. I think Tannehill got us. He got us these nice big custom coolers, a couple other things, and
it's not bad.
No, it was solid.
You're
it was solid.
In Cabo, it's not as
Jay
good.
Cutler took care of us. He actually got us mid-season gifts one time.
Mid-season gifts.
I still use the cooler Tannehill gave me, so shout out to Tanny.
Yeah.
But what were you talking about? Jay? Yeah, Jay got us. He got us mid-season, like, suits and something, and then.
I like the idea of the customs. Mid-season.
Actually, I'm not going to lie to you. Jay Cutler has come through with a couple nice gifts. He got me this, like, motorized big wheel.
Like the Paul Blart thing?
I don't know, but
you're
too young for big
wheels. Yeah, it's like a motorcycle.
Oh, really?
I'm a little scared of it. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not.
That's a good gift.
So like this, like from the big wheels, like back.
No,
in the
no, 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 no.
But like motorized.
No, it's an actual. It's like a motorcycle.
With three wheels, like a tricycle style. Three wheels.
Yeah. Big wheel in the front, and it has two big thick PVC pipes on it, so it's for drifting.
See, an offensive lineman love that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was either pick between that. Custom paint job on it and everything. They had to extend it for us, so it was a pretty expensive gift. And this is when I was in Miami, so it was either pick that, and then or a Traeger grill. And I was like, I have grills at the house, so I took the other thing.
That's great. Well, Montgomery played initially with, or at some point early on, with Peyton Manning.
Yes.
And so he had the same kind of experience where you have these few years with a guy like that who's got all the money and all the resources, and then you bounce around, and like you said, it kind of spoils it for everybody else.
Yeah. I think he told me about the RG, where RG3 got him something.
He got them Xboxes.
there was free partnership with him. That's yeah. great.
Like Peyton didn't even use his salary, he used his nationwide money to get him like cars. Yeah. You just feel bad.
Yeah. I thought it was the coolest thing because I was on the beat at the time. It's like Robert got them all like Xbox Ones, you know?
Thanks.
But I remember that they were like, they were not impressed.
No,
like,
why would you? I mean, no, you just had one of his great rookie year. I want more than that. No, I'm just joking.
But like,
at least give me the bundle with a couple games.
Right.
Corey Lichtensteiger's like, okay, I guess. Does anybody want this?
That's so mean.
It was funny, though. But I always like talking quarterback gifts. So that's probably not fair to the quarterbacks, but it's just one of those nosy things that I love. Yeah. I want to ask you about rules real quick, and then we'll get back into the three of us picking these games in a minute. Everyone wants to talk PI. I've gotten a bunch of tweets from people. Obviously, you were on the Saints team last year, Rob, by pass interference.
Thanks for opening that wound again.
No problem. Got to make sure that we all remember.
Well, the audio of that moment, we can play that.
Illegal crackback blocks. The call in that Texans-Bills game this past week that we all saw, if you weren't watching, basically, this is a very reasonable block. So there is a quarterback now out of the pocket, kind of scrambling downfield, stops at the line of scrimmage to make a throw. Defenders coming up from behind him, like toward the back of the quarterback, and the offensive lineman now with his back to the QB basically goes chest to chest and drills the oncoming defender, and they both see each other coming. It's not like a helmet-to-helmet hit, and they're ruling this illegal as a crackback block
and
of
that,
the last
and
two
that
years.
Play, he didn't even – the right tackle, what was his last name we talked about?
Number 70, yeah, I could tell
Cody,
you his name. Cody Ford.
Ford, thank
yeah,
you.
He didn't even hit him that hard. He just tried to slow him down.
He basically was in his way, stomach to stomach.
So, like, what – and that's the thing now. So, you know, every year, you know, every single team has a meeting with the referees, and they talk about all the new rules and how they're going to implement these rules, how they're going to start calling them. That's going to raise a lot of questions this offseason because, like you were saying, that probably cost them the game. You're talking 10, 15-yard play. I mean, penalty on a big play.
Yeah, it was on the drive where they're going to win with a game-winning field goal at the end.
I just think
they didn't get to.
These referees need to start coming together. Maybe they got to start questioning or going over all the penalties because you can't keep messing up these games like this. It's a disservice to the players.
But here's what's scary, Jermon, is I agree that call is ridiculous and that, to use your quote, it messed up the game. The wrong team probably won after that.
Right.
That having been said, Al Riveron, who's like the head of officials, his point after that was this is the correct call by the book. The rule book states that that's a penalty, and my point is
change the damn rule.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, how? So you're going to let a defensive lineman go and chase down your quarterback from behind. So are you just supposed to just let him go so he can smack your quarterback? No. I would take that penalty before you know, some D-end – or somebody charging after my quarterback.
Gives you the Joe Montana with Kansas City.
Yeah.
Changes his career.
I don't understand what you're supposed to do because you cannot.
Shield him like on a punt return or something?
Exactly. You can't in any way hit less. Like you said, there was not a lot of contact.
Right.
And it was also squared up. It was like as if you're chest pounding someone. Right. It was as clean a hit as possible. It's not from the side. It's not from behind. It's not at his legs. There's nothing else he could do. But the point is you're not allowed to go back
toward the
opposing goal line.
Yep.
You know, you're not allowed to, basically with your back to the ball, ever go back and hit someone. But on a play out of the pocket now.
Outside the pocket, right?
Right. Yeah. With the play out of the pocket now, what is he? He's just supposed to be, now I'm irrelevant?
Yeah, for 100 years.
I can't block anyone?
It's been a certain way and it's been fine. Those are the rules that I can't stand. Like the same thing with the microscopic millisecond frame by frame instant replay in basketball. Right. For a million years, a guy knocks the ball out of your hands, it goes out of bounds, it's been your ball. And now it's different because it may have grazed a piece of fabric on the jersey. Whatever the hell it is. A crackback block's been an instrumental part of offense, since the forward pass, since before then, since guys are running the veer with seven people in the backfield. Just, stuff like that drives me crazy where you're tweaking something that doesn't need to be tweaked.
I wonder, you know, how are these rules going to be in the next 3 to 5 years?
Mm-hmm. I think about that, too.
I mean, come on. Like, I get protecting the head. I get all of that. I get making the game safer. I think there's crackback blocks I think there's crackback blocks that that aren't good. You know, when especially because he could have taken that D lineman out. You could have hit him pretty good.
Absolutely.
The shoulder pad.
Could have destroyed him.
Yeah, but if you're doing it the right way, come together and figure it out. Don't just sit here and give these 10, 15-yard penalties to these teams when you're messing up their season.
And to your point, the year's on the line, and it's coming from someone last year who was in the NFC Championship game and should have gotten to play in a Super Bowl if not for that botched call on the pass interference. But we could tackle the PI rule, which didn't get fixed this year, by the way, before the end of the hour with Jermon, who's hanging out with us until 1. Let's make our predictions, though. We got two more games to cover. Texans, Chiefs, Seahawks, Packers, the Sunday slate on Grant and Danny. He's Jermon Bushrod, former New Orleans Saint, King George County native, and a King George High School product.
But that should have been a penalty.
If not for that penalty, our guest today, Jermon Bushrod, would have been in his second Super Bowl last year.
You should see his face. Probably. I feel bad.
Grant just finds a way to keep bringing it up, and then we got to get the snippet. I know exactly what happened in the whole moment. Honestly, the refs knew they were wrong in that whole situation.
But you can't drop the flag later, right?
No, you can't. But you know, sometimes I tend to argue calls here and there. I let it be known how I feel about it. Now, you know, they're so flag happy, you got to get your words out and kind of walk away. But this one, I was almost late to the field goal. For our field goal attempt, because I had to let one of those guys.
Really?
Oh, big time! And he just looked at me, and I had.
Was he shaking it, or what did he say?
He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. He didn't say because most of the time you chirp at them, and you know they'll threaten you with a flag. He didn't say anything. I went at him one time. I started to walk away. I was like, nah, I got to go back. So I went back to him again. He didn't do.
Was
anything.
That the guy that made the call, or just one of the closest guy to you?
It was one of them. All I saw was black and white. I couldn't even see anything.
But they knew they'd screwed that up.
But honestly, I compare this to baseball. Good for that guy. I know he screwed up and screwed you, and it ruined everything. But letting the guy get his 2 cents worth in there is actually commendable. Major League Baseball umpires will know they screwed a call up, and then they'll walk down the baseline to challenge somebody to a fist fight, kick some out of the game, and not face any kind of recourse.
I will say we know way fewer names of NFL referees.
Rightfully so.
Now, you know the umpire. You know generally the head referee, so to speak, the guy that says the call, like Ed Hockley or whoever. Mm-hmm. But we don't know the names of, like, line judges and stuff, and generally they have less of an ego, which I like. All right, let's get into the games that we have not yet. We'll start with the first of the two games on Sunday, the Texans and the Chiefs. This is your AFC offering in game 2 of the divisional round. The Texans survived the Bills. They were down 16-0. In fact, could have easily been down 20-0, another controversial call after that weird kickoff, not touchback, to start the second half. Weather, 32 degrees, partly cloudy, no snow in the forecast for Kansas City, although there has been some snow this week. This game will be on CBS at 3:05. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, and Jay Feely on the call. Over-under is 51, which, if you look at some of the other numbers this week, is one of the higher over-unders we're going to have. In fact, this could be the shootout if there is one. And in this game, you've got Kansas City favored by 9 points at Arrowhead Stadium for the Texans and the Chiefs.
This is a nice story, Houston. Thanks so much for stopping by. An adult is playing on the opposite side. This is Kansas City. They're going to the AFC title game. They got the easier of the two draws, in my opinion. Houston should have lost last week. Yep. And, you know, they were the beneficiaries of a bad call and some just ridiculous game management from Buffalo. I think Kansas City dismantles them.
Can you dismiss them, though, with Deshaun Watson's ability to put his cape on? Because they should have lost, as you just said, 4 or 5 different ways this past week against the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think Deshaun Watson played that well.
He didn't.
He was average. In the end, his numbers were pretty good. He was efficient. He was 20 of 25.
He also made
a couple
the highlight play of the year.
But that's the thing.
To win it.
When the clock was at 11:59 and it's now or never time, he walked into the phone booth and he came out and he flew around and he put them over the top. And that's the only issue I have with saying the Texans don't have a chance like you are, is I believe so much in Deshaun Watson that I think he can take games over. He's one of the few quarterbacks in this league that could take a game over. Problem is, he's got a guy on the other side in Mahomes who could do the same.
Yes. I agree with you on that. Deshaun Watson just always finds a way to win. He definitely didn't start that game good last week. But, you know, I like watching him when he gets the ball out of his hand when he's supposed to. You know, sometimes he extends plays. He puts his offensive line in a bad position. But there was a stretch, you know, in like the third quarter, he just kind of started to – I guess maybe calm down and get the ball out, find his receivers, man, feed your beast, and continue to put your guys in a good position. You know, you don't have to do too much. But I'm excited about that matchup.
So when these two teams played before, the way that this game was kept close by Bill O'Brien was a style of play that I think generally works against the Texans but helps them in this matchup. And that is, I think they're going to try to force feed their ground game, which oftentimes they do too much with O'Brien when they have the weapons that they have in the passing game, like DeAndre Hopkins and Duke Johnson. But if you go back to their Week 6 games against the Chiefs, In Week 6, they rushed for 192 yards. Watson had a bunch, Johnson had a bunch, but it was a lot of Carlos Hyde. Now, you could tell me they shouldn't run the ball as much as they pass it, and I understand that normally. But in this league, I think your plan has to be week to week. Your philosophy has to be able to vary. And why I like that is, in that game against Kansas City, the Chiefs only had 47 offensive plays. The Texans had 83. A lot of that was because of turnovers, but it was also because of how ball-controlled they were. If you can keep Kansas City off the field with your running game, and you can have long, sustained drive, and it doesn't have to just be running the ball. It can be short passes. It can be safe line of scrimmage tosses like you guys did in New Orleans for years, but you have these 10, 11, 12-play drives. That's how you beat the Chiefs. I think the Texans are capable of that kind of game, but they will need help. They'll need a pick or two from Mahomes. They'll need a lost fumble or two from the receiving core. In the end, I got the Chiefs winning this game pretty comfortably. I think it's a 27-17 game, and I say the Chiefs cover -9. They win going away. It sounds like you agree with me,
Dan. I'm with that. This Chiefs defense is not the same Chiefs defense you saw at that point in the season. They have picked up the pace. You look at what they did against some bad offenses. Houston's not a bad offense by any stretch, but only really good defenses can do the run that they just finished doing. 17-9, 16-3, 3, and then 21 in a game that they were way up in against the Chargers. They beat up bad teams. Only good defenses can do that. The overall numbers aren't that impressive for Kansas City on D, but they get after the passer a little bit, and they've been trending in the right direction. Now you get that offense firing on all cylinders.
And that's when I kind of fell in love with the Chiefs in the second half of the year. We all knew Pat Mahomes was elite,
right?
And everyone knew with Andy Reid calling plays, for whatever people think about him in the playoffs, that guy is as sharp as anybody. I'm sorry he doesn't have the jawline of Sean McVay, and he doesn't have the haircut of Matt LaFleur, and he's not as good-looking as Cliff Kingsbury. But he's big and he's fat and he's fairly gross to look at, and he's great at coaching offense.
That's all that matters.
He is so smart, and he is smarter than the guy on your sideline generally. Andy Reid will have that offense humming. The question has always been their defense. And they did not allow, to your point, 3 points against the Bears, 3 against the Broncos, 16 against New England, 9 against the Raiders, 17 to the Chargers. They allowed more than 17 points once in the last 7 games they played.
Mm-hmm.
Their defense is playing championship-level football to go along with that offense finally. Do you think the Chiefs beat the Texans?
I think the Chiefs, I give the Chiefs the upper hand. They're playing in Arrowhead. That's a hostile environment to play in. Houston is kind of out of their element a little bit. And they might be getting D Ford back, I think, on defense. So that's another big plus for the Kansas City Chiefs. Their only question mark to me is their defense. And I think Houston has a lot of firepower. They're going to have to find a way to contain these guys on the edge and make sure Kenny Stills doesn't get behind that group. But I have Kansas City winning the game. Feed Damian Williams. Don't make Patrick Mahomes do it all through the air. Because to me as a player, it's just you got to be as balanced as you can. Keep the defense guessing. You know, stay in front of the sticks and, you know, be able to open up your playbook on second and third down. But I do have the Chiefs winning this game by at least a touchdown.
Spoken like a tackle, too. You've had some defenders tee off on you and they knew the pass was coming in the past. He's Jermon Bushrod hanging out in studio with us, a former Super Bowl champion. We're Grant and Danny. You are locked into the Fan. 3 games down, 1 to go. Seahawks, Packers. Green Bay got a bye. Won 13 games. Nobody seems to think they're any good, even though Aaron Rodgers just had a season where he threw 4 interceptions all year long. Why don't they get any respect? We'll tackle that next on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. If you missed any part of today's show to this point, you can check us out on radio.com. We got the radio.com app. You got the rewind function. Download the app, select our station, and you can go back in time. You sit there, you toggle right there on your phone with your thumb, segments you may have missed, any interviews we do that you want to go back and listen to. It's all available for you on radio.com. Let's go to the final game of the weekend, the Seahawks and the Packers. This game is at Lambeau Field, where they've got volunteers shoveling snow as we speak. They're not expecting snow as of right now. on Sunday, although I guess that could change. They're saying that it will be snowing before the game and after the game, that there's a window possibly.
But not during?
Where it's not. But I'm going to say it's a snow game. I don't have any meteorology background, but if you're telling me it's been snowing all week and it might snow before and after, I'm just going to say we're going to get some snow. 22 degrees in the forecast. Frigid cold. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews, Chris Myers on the Fox telecast. This is the tightest game of the weekend as far as the point spread. The Packers at home are 4.5-point favorites over the Seahawks, who knocked off the Eagles in the first round. So on this game, and Jermon Bushrod's in studio with us on Grant and Danny, I guess my first question is, playing in cold weather games in the playoffs like this. Now, you guys, for the most part, were comfortable in the dome in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But did you have any of those 20-degree snow-type games in the postseason or any of these outdoor games? And you know, a lot of guys, we were joking about this at the early part of the show, that they'll go out there without long sleeves and they'll try to look tough. I would just be bundled up, man, trying to keep myself warm.
I'll tell you how I did it. Well, we talked about it earlier. We talked about Miami with the Jay Ajayi season and the success we were able to have. We went into Pittsburgh wild card weekend.
Okay.
And we lost that game, you know, of course. And everybody knows that. But that was a very cold game. You're talking about a game probably in between 10 and 20 degrees.
Oof.
The ground was frozen. And I don't play with sleeves on. When I was in Chicago, that was like a thing that, you know, the offensive linemen don't play with sleeves. So ever since then, I played in a negative 18 game Monday night versus the Cowboys one year with no sleeves on.
Is that Soldier Field or where
Soldier
is that?
Soldier Field. We were at Soldier Field.
So do you guys do – somebody – I want to say it was Wes Welker or someone used to
– Vaseline?
Do you rub stuff all over your arms or anything?
No, I just suck it up like three and a half hours.
Now, you have the heaters on the bench you sit
Oh,
here?
For sure. Once we get on that sideline, we have somebody give us a nice big parka.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got a fire heater off to your right, and then the seats you sit in – or the whole bench is warm, and you can actually kind of like, there's like slots you can throw your fingers and your feet in. Just
oh, that's
sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
But does it affect your play?
It slows you down.
Okay.
Sure. It slows you down a little bit. But the good thing is, especially for offensive linemen, it slows the defensive linemen down.
You so know? You'll take it.
I'm totally fine with it. Actually, I enjoyed playing in the cold weather.
What about the snow specifically?
I don't know if I've played too many games in the snow, but like I said, I'm an offensive lineman.
Right.
Whatever slows the defensive line down
is good.
Great.
Benefit. So I think a game like that, you guys tell me if you disagree, I think it would benefit Seattle, though.
I feel like it does, too.
Because they are – the Packers, to me, are a little bit more balanced. They can spread you out. They'll throw it. They're much better running the ball this year than they've been in years with Aaron Jones. No denying that. But Seattle is so boring and so kind of methodical with Brian Schottenheimer, and it's – first down run, second down run, third down shot. You know,
third
a lot of that.
Six, Russell Wilson do something crazy.
Exactly.
He's
number one, sure, it will take Wilson away a little bit as a scrambler if it slows him down. But in general, if you say who's better off in a game where it's about running the ball, each offense kind of slows down a bit, I think that's a Seattle game maybe.
I agree with you, especially when you got a quarterback who can be as squirrely as Russell Wilson has been all year and continue to make plays. I like Seattle's chances.
This is the toughest game to get a feel on. No coincidence, it's the closest spread of the week, right?
Right.
Obviously. But I have no idea what Seattle team's going to post.
Right.
Okay? This is a group that played a great game against San Francisco, lost that game, but looked really good, could have won it, and then surrounded that with three losses and looked like a shadow of themselves. This Green Bay team, yes, they're good. There's no question they're good, but how good, right? How much of that is just good fortune in one-score games? This defense, I feel like Green Bay's defense is good, but the numbers don't bear that out. They're middle of the road in a lot of things. I do not have a great feel for this one. I think I'm leaning Seattle just because of maybe some of the pedigree
outright
of some of these guys.
Or point spread-wise?
Outright.
Really?
Just to maybe
so then
get
you're
a,
definitely
a
taking
win.
Seattle plus 4.5.
I definitely am.
Okay.
This is the game I have the least confidence points in. If I was in a confidence pool.
I'm with you. I'm going Seattle plus 4.5. I think the Packers do win the game. I think I'm a little more confident maybe than you guys are. But what we're hearing in this conversation in studio right now is what the country has been saying all season long, which Green Bay keeps winning and people don't seem to be buying in. Sitting next to a longtime lineman, I think you'll like some of these numbers. Green Bay ranked first in pass block win rate this year, one of these analytics, where their O-line had held 72% of their blocks this year.
Wow.
No team in the league better than that. The Seahawks, with Jadeveon Clowney, are going to have to find a way to get to Aaron Rodgers. They brought in Jadeveon Clowney to have a big game in a spot like this. So a healthy Jadeveon Clowney, if he's on the field, has to impact this game. He was 16th in the league in rushing the quarterback. D-line getting beat by the offensive line. About 43% of the time, he beat his block. So that's one thing to look at. The other thing is Aaron Rodgers completes 69% of his passes when not pressured. 45% when under pressure. Now, you can say that about every quarterback, but the point is you want to take Rodgers' greatnesses away, like most guys. You make him move around. You put a little pressure on him. You make him throw at the guy in front of him. The Redskins have done it when he's been pretty pedestrian against them the last few times they've played him, and it's worked. So just some numbers in the trenches. I'm going Packers, but I'll take Seahawks plus 4.5.
Jadeveon Clowney made his presence known in that last game.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when I look back at it, Seattle's offensive line let Fletcher Cox get through, and it was a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson. So I'm interested to see how the offensive line holds up in these elements versus these two outside linebackers they have. I mean, their defense is playing pretty solid, you know, but I'm going to take Seattle just because I believe in what Russell Wilson did. I take them by 3, though. I don't know if they can beat them by more than that.
I'm taking Seattle against my better judgment because the numbers bear out what you're talking about, GP. They've had issues pressuring the quarterback all year. We hear Seattle, we go, oh, great defense. They kill passers. Only 28 sacks on the season, about half of what the league leader Pittsburgh Steelers put up. They don't get after the quarterback. They don't hit the quarterback very often. Clowney's the key to the game. If he's healthy, if he's wreaking havoc as he's capable of when he's right, I think that changes the dynamic. But this, to me, is going against my better judgment. I like Seattle on the road.
Visualizeandrise.org is the website for Jermon Bushrod's foundation. Visualize and Rise with a Z.
Yeah.
You've got the big camp coming up as well as a golf tournament, a golf outing, Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th.
Yes.
You're in the Fredericksburg area, as so many of you are, with the young football players, NFL players on site, including Jermon. It's a camp that you've done for many, many years.
This will be the 11th year for the football camp, 10th year for the golf tournament. And, you know, we're going to try to start getting our signups for the golf around March 1st. And we'll do, you know, if you just follow, you know, Visualize and Rise on our website and on our social media, at Visualize and Rise, like Danny said, Grant said, Rise with a Z. You know, we'll keep everybody up to date. We're just going to continue to make more of an impact and see if we can get some of these people in this area to come on down and play a little golf and get your kids signed up because it is a free camp. And these kids' parents, so what we do is we like to start the sign-up process midnight on whatever day we select. And in years past, sometimes it doesn't even make it past noon with 300-plus kids.
That's awesome.
Signing
wow.
up. So, yeah, man, I'm excited about what this foundation has done. I'm so appreciative of the people that I have around me, and we're going to continue to make more of an impact. And, yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, you should be proud of yourself, and we're very proud of you. And congrats on a heck of a career, and thanks for coming in studio.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
Awesome to have you, buddy.
Jermon Bushrod talking playoff football with us today on Grant and Danny. Still 1 hour to go on the program. Next, let's get back into the Skins, Danny. Front office changes yesterday. A lot of power for Ron Rivera. Might be too much on his plate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.